Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this Easter Sunday morning will be taken from the 24th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And we're actually going to pick up reading from where Alvin left off. So we're going to read from the 13th verse. And we're going to read actually all the way down to verse 43. Luke chapter 24. And I'm going to begin reading this morning from verse 13. Where we read then as follows in the name of our Lord. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communication are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew near unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of an honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. Amen. Shall we pray? Gracious Father, we thank you again this morning for your word. We thank you, Father, for the message of the risen Lord Jesus. And we ask, Father, that again you would open our eyes this morning, that all of us who are gathered here could see. So sanctify us in the truth, for your word is indeed the truth. Amen. The events of Easter are quite readily known. And what I mean by that is we, all of us perhaps, have read all four accounts in the Gospels. We've read what Matthew recorded, you know, his story of the resurrection. We've read of Mark's. We've read now this morning, you have read with me, the Gospel of Luke. And we've also read perhaps from John. And we've seen over and over again the gospel writers basically telling us, as they write these things down, they're verifying for us that this in fact happened. That is why these writers, as they write these things, they write them in a particular way that you and I, who are the reader hearer of the text, would actually see that this is a true event. You see, though, the only thing about that is, and I stressed this yesterday, or Friday rather, in the sermon on Good Friday, on the Good Friday text, it's okay for us to simply know of the physical event, or to know of the historical event, perhaps, of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. And we celebrate on Easter in various ways, and it's good. But if we simply know it just as an abstract, kind of an objective reality that took place so many years ago, where this really nice man died and rose again, then it simply becomes just another story within the Christian church, and it begins to lack or lose its power, which is why when Jesus met the disciples, these two men actually, who were walking on the road to Emmaus, he does what he does. It's quite astounding, really, as you look at this text, as you, and you wonder, well, why would that happen? Why would they be walking on this road and Jesus show up there and they don't even know who he is? In fact, the scripture says God made it that way. Their eyes were holden. They were unable to recognize him. John, or Luke rather, writes these things for us so that our own eyes would be opened this morning. The resurrection as event is meaningless to us if we do not know who, if this resurrection does not become ours. I stress this over and over again, and perhaps we'll stress it very often this morning, but that's the way it is. I can't just simply get up here this morning and tell you about a historical event. Well, I can, but perhaps that may do nothing for you. You'll just simply look at it and say, well, that's really neat. That's a nice story. I'm glad all of this took place for me. And then you go out and you live your life any which way you want to live, and you kind of don't even think about these things at all anymore. The resurrection becomes a very personal matter for each and every one of us as we look at this text, as we realize that Jesus encounters these two men and encounters other people as well after his resurrection, revealing unto them who in fact he is and his power now over death, over hell, and over the devil himself. You see, these two men are walking. They're actually in a very depressed state, so to speak. They're wondering, well, what in the world is going on? What happened here? We had put all of our trust in this man, Jesus. We thought he was going to redeem Israel. He was going to bring us back into a powerful nation where we are going to be able to do all of the things that we are hoping to do. We are going to have the King of Israel again reigning and demonstrating, as it were, his power. And Jesus tells him a very interesting thing, doesn't he? He says, "Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the scripture or all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have entered, suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Don't you know the plan of God? Don't you understand what has taken place in this Christ event? Don't you understand now what all of this means for you?" It's very difficult very often for us to understand the meaning of all of this. It's real easy for us to simply just look at it from a historical perspective, to simply just know that this happened, but not actually realize what it has now done for me. And I don't mean just the salvation aspect of it. That, of course, is of utmost importance, but sometimes we simply just kind of gloss over these events without realizing their own personal effect in our lives, what this now means for you and for me. That's what the writers of the New Testament speak about. That's what they speak about as they write later on with this. But all of this is written here so that you and I who are listening to this text this morning would actually know its validity or its truth. So in one sense, I suppose, it is very good that we know it historically, that we know of its truth value, that we understand that this event took place, and it took place as it is recorded in the scripture, and Jesus demonstrated for his disciples that he had, in fact, been raised from the dead. It wasn't some sort of a spiritual resurrection. It was a physical resurrection where he rose bodily from the tomb, and he was walking again, once again, in the flesh and blood. Ought not Christ to have entered, suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And he begins, and this is perhaps one of the greatest sermons ever spoken, in verse 27. Beginning at Moses and the prophets, he expounds unto them all of the scriptures, or all of the things in the scriptures concerning himself. Don't you understand? Dear listener, don't you understand this morning what this event means for you? This changes everything about our existence. Everything has now changed for us because of this man, Jesus, the Christ, coming into the world and going through what we refer to as Holy Week, where he goes through all of these certain events and suffers and dies on our behalf on the center cross of Calvary and rises again on Easter morning. This changes everything for us. We are no longer now just simply identified as a fallen human race, which is why we need to understand the power of the resurrection. Not just the resurrection as event. We need to understand it in its power. What has now come through this event? He says, and I'm going to go through this text kind of in brief this morning, before I get to the main point of what I'm want to drive home for you. Jesus shows up with these two men who are traveling on the road to Emmaus. He has this great conversation with them. It tells us, even as he is speaking unto them of all of the things in the Holy Scriptures concerning himself, their hearts burned within them. They begin to realize that, yes, what this man was telling, they didn't know who he was in fact the truth. The scripture, as it was coming forth from the lips of God himself, was beginning to have its effect in their hearts. And they get close to a village where they were headed, and Jesus acts like he's going to keep going. This text is almost humorous. The way it all is laid out, as Luke lays this out, as he records this event that took place. I mean, can you imagine this? There's these two disciples and Jesus, they're walking into this village, And these two disciples, well, there's an inn right here. Why don't we stop here for the night? And Jesus kind of keeps walking forward, and they're like, wait. Why don't you come and stay with us tonight? It's late anyway. I mean, it's almost nighttime. You don't want to be out traveling on these roads all by yourself at night. And so he goes in with them. And he sits down with them, and he serves them. He takes bread, he blesses it, he breaks it, and their eyes were opened. Their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. You see, this is the whole point of the resurrection event. This is the whole point of coming to church on any Sunday, but on Easter Sunday as well. That your eyes would be opened, that you would be akin to these two disciples who were walking with Jesus, though they did not know it. But when he enters into this dining room with them and they begin to eat, when he blesses this bread and breaks it, they immediately recognize him. And boom, he's gone. And they say, did not our hearts burn within us while he spoke to us, while he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up immediately. They had just told Jesus, you shouldn't travel on, but now they rise up and they run. I don't know if they ran, but they return immediately back to where they were, to Jerusalem. And they find the 11 gathered together. And they run in, and the 11 are saying this, the Lord is risen indeed. And he hath appeared unto Simon, and they told them also what happened to them and how he was made known to them in the breaking of bread. And as they were speaking, Jesus himself appears in their midst. And he speaks to them these words, peace be unto you. And they were immediately peaceful. No, they were scared out of their minds. They were so frightened, I'm sure they didn't know what to do. If they should run out of that room, if they should dive under the table, whatever it is that you do when you're really, really scared. They were frightened. And Jesus says, well, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Look, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. And he demonstrates for them that he is truly alive. And if that wasn't enough, because it says this, and when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, he said, do you have here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. You see, my friends, this event took place. There's no doubt about that. It is historically accurate. This event took place. Christ went to the cross. Some of these people witnessed him dying on the cross, and now these people that you heard from in the Bible and the text itself also witness his resurrection. They didn't witness his resurrection, but they seen him after his resurrection, and he proved to them by simply showing to them, look, here's the scars in my hands. Look at my side. Here's the spear hole, so to speak, or that scar from that. Do you have any food here? Let me have some food. I'll show you. I am alive. And they believed. They believed, in fact, this event, because it's demonstrated later on in the rest of the New Testament. As we read through the book of Acts, and as we read through the writings of the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter and Jude and so on, this is what we see. The power of the resurrection actually changes people completely. Or perhaps even better said, the Christ event changes us, because, my friends, on the cross Jesus died and we die with him. We come to the end of ourselves. And when Jesus walks out of that tomb, we walk out of our tomb as well. We now live. This is not just an historical event. This is an event that changes us as people. Galatians, perhaps, is the best place to start as we look at this. Galatians, the second chapter. In the verses 19 and 20. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This event, my friends, is an event that brings you and I to a completely different relationship with our God. We were fallen, condemned, bound, as it were, for condemnation before this event. But because of this event, because of the death and resurrection of our Lord now, and our union now with him, we are now doing quite well, thank you. We are alive. And more alive than we have ever been or ever will be. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. His death became my death. I came to the end of myself, but I didn't remain there in death. I now live. I have risen again. The old condemnation, the old carnality that I carry has been placed aside, and I now live in newness of life, which brings us to Romans. Romans, the sixth chapter. And I'm actually going to read 11 verses here. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Are you hearing it? This event has changed things for you, my friends. You are a follower of Jesus Christ. Maybe I should say, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ this morning, this is the reality for you. This morning, this event that took place so many years ago has brought you now onto newness of life. You now dwell in a completely different situation. And this now changes you as an individual as you live out your life here in this world. Because you no longer live for yourself. That is perhaps the hardest lesson for us to learn as Christians in this world. We no longer live for ourselves. This is what this event has done for us. It shows us, first of all, that Christ suffered and died for our sins, that he rose again victorious over death and over hell. And now he has given this unto you and I as a free gift. 2 Corinthians talks about this. He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This is who we are. You see, my friends, this is what I'm driving home to you this morning. The resurrection simply as an event is meaningless if it doesn't become your own resurrection. You must know this as yours. As one man said, you must own this. It does you no good to come to church on Easter Sunday or on any other Sunday if you're simply doing it because it's a good religious thing to do. You gather here because you come to hear about the new reality that is yours now as a believer in Jesus Christ. Your life now has been consumed in him. And this is what we read in Colossians, the second chapter. Says this in verse 11 of the second chapter of Colossians, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in the putting off of the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein you also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. I ask again, are you hearing it? This event, my friends, is an event that is so powerful that our little minds can't even hardly comprehend it. To think that God has now moved us, as it were, through this operation, through his working in his Son, from the realm of death over into the realm of life. This is now where we find ourselves. And we find ourselves continually in this position all of the days of our life, which makes this event so powerful. Which is why Paul says in Philippians, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. There is no more powerful thing than God becoming man and dying on the cross and rising again. Death was delivered its death blow. It was taken over. It was consumed. It was done away with. And we now live. We live because he lives. I'm not trying to take away from the event this morning. Please don't understand it in that way. I'm simply telling you this event must become more than just a historical reality that we look at and examine once a year. This becomes our everydayness. This is what identifies us, the risen Lord Jesus. And so the early church would always greet in this way, He is risen. And the apostles in the book of Acts, when they preached always about the power of His resurrection. Which brings us to Acts. I'm actually going to go back to Colossians too, so you can keep your finger in there if you're following along. Peter here preaching to the house of Cornelius. It says in verse 34 of the 10th chapter of Acts. Acts 10:34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whoever believes in him shall receive the forgiveness of their sins." I could keep bringing you all over this morning. I could bring you, and I will bring you to Colossians, and now that's the last place. Colossians 3. Listen to these words. You see, well, I'll hold that thought. Colossians 3. "If you then be risen with Christ." Did you hear that? "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." And this, my friends, is the promise. The resurrection event brings to us our salvation, or the Christ event, better said. And when the apostles went from that point, when they were empowered by God through the Holy Spirit, they went out and they began to preach this message everywhere, telling people it's time to repent. It's time to come to God and hear what He has done for you. It's time to understand that you have done wrong. But let me tell you what He has done for you. He has given to you the forgiveness of your sins. He has made you whole and right before Him, and He calls you onto Himself. That's what the church is always about. The church is always gathering people in, or that's what it's supposed to be about. Gathering people in, telling them over and over and over again about this event of which we have commemorated this week, that Christ has died for your sins and he has rose again in victory over all of these things, and you now live because of him. There's nothing else in this world that we need to understand more than this. Everything pales in comparison to this message. That is why it is of such importance that you, my friend, dear listener, would hear and know this resurrection as your own. That you would know him and the power of his resurrection, being made conformable unto his death. That you would know him not in just some objective way as someone that I use as some sort of a patch to fix up my life once in a while. No, that you would know him as your Lord, as your Savior, as your Redeemer, as the one who walks with you each and every day, who gives you this standing that you stand in today, who has given to you life, because he says, I have come to give you life, and I have come to give it to you abundantly. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. It's okay. You're supposed to say he is risen indeed. How marvelous. That is exactly right. What a marvelous event. What a marvelous event. I pray this morning that as we go down to the fellowship hall and we enjoy whatever it is that they're making, it's going to be good. You know that. As we partake of all of that, may this food that you have been served this morning from this pulpit transcend all of that. You can enjoy that food. It's good for you. It's good for your belly. It's good for your body. It gives you the strength to keep going through each and every day. But this food gives you what you really need. Because Jesus is, in fact, the bread of life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And he has risen, and because he has risen, we have been removed from the realm of death, and we now live. And we will live from the promise of the word forever. Forever. Shall we pray? Gracious Father, for that is who you are. You are gracious. You have redeemed us. You have made us your own. We have come to the end of ourselves only because you have worked this out. And we now live in newness of life because, Father, you have worked this out as well. And so even as you instruct us and teach us to go out and to live now in this manner, to live as your followers, we ask again this morning that you would help us to do so. That, Father, we would understand this event and its power, and we would live under this event. And this event, Father, this Christ event would overshadow us each and every day of our lives. So that truly, Father, we could walk in newness of life. So we ask for your blessing to be upon all who have gathered here this morning, that the message of the crucified and risen Lord Jesus would be their own, that they would leave from here strengthened, knowing that their sins are forgiven, they are washed, they are separated from them as far as the east is from the west, and that they would know what Jesus was talking about when he asked his disciples, why are you troubled? Why are you so concerned? What is going on with you? Father, so often our hearts and our minds are overclouded with trials and troubles and concerns of this life. We ask that you would help us. Help us as we go through these things as well. That our hearts and our minds would be lifted heavenward, and we would see you in all of your majesty and all of your glory, and we would see what is actually real. And then, Father, we would live our lives in victory. So grant this unto us, we ask, for the sake of your Son. For it is in his holy name that we pray. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion and fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with us all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.